Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes.
We kick off hour number 3 of the program. Spring practice started on the football field. Start getting some videos and stuff. Some hype stuff. Chris is excited over there. He's working with defensive linemen.
Teams that want to, teams that hope to, and teams that expect to. You have to work to expect. That's the motto.
Okay.
Work to expect. Cam Seldon is big.
Okay. Good, good.
Here, I'll see if I can read through and find some notes for you. Let's see here. Oh. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Tennessee has some super seniors. 13 of them.
Okay.
Do you want to know who they are?
Yes.
I'll tell you the guys you'll know about.
Okay.
Aaron Beasley.
All right.
Tight end transfer, McAllen Castles.
Yep.
Jeremiah Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Karat Garland.
Yep.
Roman Harrison.
Okay.
Ramel Keaton.
Yep.
Ollie Lane.
Okay.
Tank McCullough.
Yeah.
Joe Milton, 3.
Uh-huh.
Jacob Warren.
All right.
There you go. We have 19 scholarship seniors or redshirt seniors. I'm not going to go through that list.
I feel like we should be pretty good. How's the offensive line? You mentioned
big
Crawford. Darnell Wright's been destroying pre-draft stuff.
Cooper Mays has gained 10 pounds.
Okay.
Dominic Bailey has gained 15 pounds.
All right.
Bryson Easton has gained 10 pounds. Christian Charles, 9 pounds. Jackson Lampley has lost 5 pounds. Roman Harrison has lost 9 pounds. It's probably it for the
Is
weight.
That it, you think?
Yeah.
For weight.
Yeah, just. Oh, Chaz Nimrod has gained 4 pounds since he got here.
Good for Chaz.
Yep. It's big.
I mean, the offensive line, you gotta think, got to replace a lot of guys, right?
I think.
Yeah. Well, Mincy three and a half, right? Crawford are back.
Mincy's back?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We picked Crawford. Up the guy from Miami.
Mincy Crawford Cooper?
Yeah, so we got to replace 3 because those other guys split
time,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
From Miami, who was a starting left tackle last year from
Yeah,
Miami.
But he's more of a right.
John Campbell. Well, it says John Campbell is one of the position battles versus Jeremiah Crawford for the right tackle. Because I
right.
think Mincy will start at left.
Mincy's going to left.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of actually replacing, we're missing 3 starters because Mincy and Crawford took 1 spot. Mays had center. So those other 3 spots. But obviously we can split the 2 guys.
Right.
And so really we're kind of only replacing 2.
Yeah.
If those guys are in a battle, maybe one can kick to guard. And
yeah.
then you're really just looking for kind of one new, brand new dude you've never really seen much out of.
Brew McCoy, Deshaun Rucker, Brandon Turnage, and Jabari Small worked out on the side.
Okay. Any?
Warren Burrell was in a red non-contact jersey.
I guess another position battle they said to watch was Dante Thornton versus Ramel Keaton for that one of those wide receiver roles. Because you got Squirrel and Brew, I think, pretty much locked down those others.
Surely Thornton beats
this
out
says,
Keaton.
This says Thornton worked in the slot behind Squirrel.
He'll probably bounce around, I guess.
Okay.
Caleb Webb and Ramel Keaton at outside.
Uh-oh. My boy, Caleb Webb. Will he finally see the field this year?
It's possible.
It's possible.
I have high hopes for that kid.
We thought the same thing.
So I guess it'll be Beasley and that kid from BYU maybe is the starting linebackers.
Pili PTE? Mm. Yeah.
Can Beasley.
That wasn't the name, guys. I just made that up.
No, I know.
You were close, probably.
Yeah.
Can Beasley carry over the Orange Bowl performance to this year? is a very important question.
God, he was a monster that game. An absolute monster. We're all like, oh, no Banks. What's going to happen? Oh, don't worry. Aaron Beasley. Was it like first play? He bolts back there for a sack.
Well, Beasley needs to become the thumper and the blitzer and the guy around the ball. And then if you can pair him with a guy that can just cover a little better, then I think that pair
I think he might be the guy who covers because the PLTPE guy is huge.
He's a thumper too,
right? Yeah, he's huge.
Maybe we can find another diamond in the rough to rotate in with those two that on more coverage downs.
Yeah.
That guy can come in or whatever. And they can, if we're playing more run teams, the two can play together. Or maybe they go to, maybe the star this year isn't as, you know, plays slightly different technique, isn't as physical, as more of a coverage position. Mm. You know, sometimes I feel like if your weak side linebacker is more of a chase and coverage guy, then your star is more like a old school strong safety. You know what I mean? Because it's weird how the nickel, like being a nickel as base has kind of, and a lot of hybrid guys, you kind of just have to find the right mix on having enough tackling ability, but then having enough coverage ability, and then how you change that per which team you're playing. Because, I mean, some teams are going to throw the ball almost every play, and then you're still going to get that occasional team that, even if they spread you out, is going to try and run the ball at you a lot.
Well, we got to replace the edge rushers, right? Young and what was the other guy?
Barron's back, isn't he?
Is he back? I can't remember if he was back.
COVID has ruined this conversation.
We know Byron Young's gone. I just don't know. I
can't Tyler Barron's back
came
or not.
In the same time as him or not.
Well,
it'd be a lot
Young came in as a transfer, so I don't.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He went
transfer?
To JUCO. Remember, he was at the.
Oh, yeah.
Working the official roster on UT Sports has Tyler Barron as back.
Okay.
And it has removed, you know,
that
like.
Should be right. Okay.
Hendon Hooker's not on there. And
so I feel like we need to figure out a way to be dynamic in the pass rush because that's what Byron did for us. You know,
Brian tweets in and says, Javontez Spraggins is also back. So that's three starters on the offensive line. Spraggins, Mays, and then Mincy Crawford.
We're pretty good
there. Pretty good. We need to build some depth, obviously.
Once we split those two guys, Mincy and Crawford, you're really just kind of looking for one dude then.
Yeah.
That and you
have
the
guard.
You have the transfer from Texas.
Who played?
We mentioned.
Did he play tackle?
Brett mentioned him. He's a tackle.
John Campbell? He's from Miami. He was the starting left
tackle.
Oh, no, we got another guy. Yeah, we got another guy from Texas, I thought.
Okay.
He's Russian.
Yeah, the Russian
guy. He's a tackle also. Maybe that's the guy I was thinking about.
Well, we did get the guy, John Campbell, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably flip some of these guys.
I think
one of them to
I think
guard.
They were both tackles. I'm not saying they can't play guard.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Usually,
they're going to want to play.
If like, you've got size and can play tackle, you can play guard.
Right, yeah.
Especially if we have.
A lot of times you can't go from guard to tackle. You can go from tackle to guard.
Yeah. Especially with. Oh, Glenn Ellerby. One of the best offensive line coaches in the country,
well, especially in college.
For the metrics, about this, all this depth comes back.
How nice is it?
Yeah.
To just.
It's like the opposite of the baseball team.
Oh, wow. I was going to go other football teams we've had where it's like, well, we weren't even that good and we lost everybody.
Yeah.
This is like we were really damn good and actually we bring back a pretty good crew.
Well, wasn't that what one of Heupel's comments yesterday? It was like walking out here, it's like all this depth we got.
Yeah.
Got big guys, defensive and offensive line.
We look like a football team. Did you
have a ton of secondary? You know,
yeah, we got bodies. We just got to find some good ones.
Yeah.
Did you see the quote from Beamer on Bussin' with the Boys? He was asked. He was asked about what SEC coaches he could take in a fight, and he said he thinks he could handle, or at least hang with, all 13. But he said that there's one that he really wants to fight, like in real life.
Was it hype?
He didn't say.
Oh.
He said, he's like, there's a couple that I would really like to get my hands on because of what happens like at coaches' meetings and off the field.
Yeah.
And they were like, who? And he's like, well, I don't want to tell you, but we do play one of them this year.
There's no way it's Heupel.
Pulling up the South Carolina football schedule.
I wouldn't think so. Maybe Dabo? Could it be Dabo? No, he didn't. Well, he said because they asked him about SEC coaches, and he said, oh, yeah, I was talking to my wife this morning. Yeah, it had to be because he said something about the meetings. He wouldn't be in a spring meeting with Dabo. So who would it be that's on the schedule? Who do they play from the West?
It might be Drink. Drink's really annoying, especially, I bet, at meetings he's a real good
Don't they get A&M all the time?
Every year.
Every year.
Would he have a big problem with Jimbo, though?
I don't think so.
Well, I wonder got a problem with him.
I wonder who.
It's got to be somebody. I don't think it'd be somebody they only play.
Maybe Stoops?
Kirby?
No, they beat Stoops. And they beat us. Why would he want to punch Heupel? Heupel would whip his ass.
It ain't Clark Lee.
Or maybe
Clark,
it is.
Clark Lee would whip his ass.
Boring. It's got to be Stoops, right? Stoops probably whines about
I'm
stuff all the time.
I'm thinking Stoops or Jeremy Jr. down at Florida. Napier.
Why would it be Napier?
Because they whipped South Carolina's ass. And he was probably like, yep, that's why you don't go there.
They've only been around each other for a year, though.
That's true. It's a good point. Gosh, what if it is Heupel? Why would Beamer hate Heupel?
It might be Kirby. Kirby rolls into the meetings. I'm Kirby. I know everything. Y'all should follow me. Da, da, da.
And they did work together. I thought he said in the interview, though, that they were friends. He was like
Beamer's
neighbors.
Beamer's also 5'8", 165. So he's one of the smaller dudes probably in the
I know.
Conference.
That's why when he's like, I think I could scrap with anybody. I'm like,
I picture Shane Beamer slapping a guy and running.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kicking.
Like throwing sand in his eyes.
Yeah.
And like clawing.
Yeah.
Or diving at their legs.
Jeez.
Like Jeff Van Gundy did in that playoff game.
Oh, he. You know, once you start fighting, though, I'm a firm believer that anything goes once you get to that point.
You
so.
Would, King of Kodak.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, Stoops apparently talked about Beamer dancing in the locker room. So maybe it is Stoops.
It is Stoops. Maybe it has to be Stoops. Yeah. He was the sunglasses one, yeah, because he – and then he even shot back at him after that or said, this is for some people or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Stoops.
Like, wow, congratulations, you're at Kentucky, bro.
Yeah, a Tennessee fan, I'm all about some Stoops Beamer drama. Keeps them kind of down in the mud, away from.
Yeah, they're focusing on the wrong things.
You guys enjoy playing for fourth place in the East. You know,
we got bigger fish.
Yeah,
to
we're gonna work on beating Georgia. Thanks.
We do need to also work on beating South Carolina.
Well, I mean that should take care of itself.
Yeah, I agree.
It's gonna be back here. You know, I still don't know where that game came from. I actually wasn't shocked that Tennessee lost. I was in complete shock of how that game went, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if some weird crap had happened, you know, the hooker throws one slightly behind a receiver, it's tipped up in the air, pick six, or, you know, a strip sack. You know, they scored two defensive touchdowns, block a punt. And we can't get going, and you lose on a, you know, because you miss a field goal at the end, you know, 27-24. Okay, I get it. Like, you know, teams that are high-octane offenses go on the road late in the season. Was it at night?
Oh, yeah,
right?
It was
like,
night.
Just wearing a different helmet, like, just.
Freezing cold, lost their best linebacker that week. Yep.
Yeah, like weird crap happens. But the way it happened is what just completely shocked me. I mean, it's very – like, Georgia went on the road to Missouri and had that kind of game.
Damn near lost, yep.
Could have lost.
Well, and they just lost Florida the previous week.
Yeah, they didn't score a touchdown. They scored a fake punt.
And yeah, I mean, that's what you got to expect with Beamer. I mean, he's just insanely bad, and then somehow – I mean, talk about a roller coaster.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Hadn't even thrown for 200 yards in a Power 5 game.
Shocked. Absolutely shocked the way that went down. But
God.
Revenge this season.
At home.
Hopefully we can put one on them.
Both of your losses last year are going to be in Neyland this year. And 24/7 Sports put out an article yesterday predicting the top 10 craziest environments in college football next year. Number one was Georgia at Tennessee in Neyland Stadium. Also on the list, Tennessee at Florida in the Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They lose one early. They might be checked out because they got to open up on the road at Utah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they dropped that.
On a Thursday.
They dropped that one. I don't know how invested they'll be come week three or four or whatever week it is. Hot take, Napier's gone after next year.
What'd they go this year?
6-7.
Oregon State in the bowl game, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, okay. Someone put a GIF from King of the Hill. Pocket sand. That's so Beamer.
Oh, man. We'll come back with more Three and Out. Stick with us. Hour three continues next. Hour three continues. Hickman, how many has he got, Chris?
He's got six. I'm going to go through the list.
All right.
He's got 14 more to go, but here are six things that Adam Hickman just loves about Richard Dale Barnes. Number one, great coaching job this year. One of his best. Number two, he looks good.
For his age.
Yeah. Number three, disciplined program, in parentheses, no guns.
That's not exactly how I worded that one.
Well, I'm not going to write your whole sentence out. I have a life. Number four, great recruiter.
Yeah.
Number five, delivered the best regular season month stretch of Hickman's life. And number six, has developed a very promising coaching tree. Number seven.
Oh, up until this year, he's pretty much owned Kentucky and Coach Cal.
Owned Kentucky for the most part. Number eight.
I like how you don't get blown out with the way he coaches and the way we play.
Rarely embarrassed.
Yeah. Every game's typically close, you know. You got a chance to win them all. I love his defenses.
Love his defense is number nine. That was number nine. Number 10.
Low-key kind of funny.
Low-key funny. Oh, got to number that one. I didn't put my 10 down there. Oops. Low-key funny.
We're at 11. I'm only going to 15. That was the best.
No, you're going to 20 because you missed yesterday.
Not going to 20.
You had an extra day to come up with five. I don't want to hear it.
I'm not getting to, I might not get to 15. You think I want to get to 20?
Just got to get to 15. Just try. You got to use your head.
I bet you get to 15, I could rattle off five more in 10 minutes.
Okay. Number 11. I think it's I love the fact that he almost kicked Dean Smith's ass on a basketball court after a handshake.
He's a fighter. Yeah.
Almost fought Dean Smith. Number 12.
Number 12. Let's see.
Oh, come on, Hickman.
12.
I got like five in my head right now.
Mm-hmm. He's a good family man.
Good family man. Okay.
No, it is true. I mean, there have been coaches that can kind of get busted being out doing non-family things.
Right.
That's a pretty good
or
one.
Or other family
actually,
things.
Yeah.
He's a man of faith.
Man of faith.
How many is that?
That's 13. You're pretty good.
14.
Oh. Two more.
Let's see. I think he really does love Knoxville and this community. He might not express it as...
Loves.
Pretends to
Knoxville.
Love Knoxville.
At least pretends, yeah.
Loves Knoxville, I think.
15. The last one.
No. You have six more.
Nate's going to help. I love the roller coaster of emotions he puts me through on a day-to-day basis.
Never a dull moment.
Never.
16.
Jared told me to put he doesn't cheat, but we tampered with Yuri Collins last year, so I can't put that anymore.
He doesn't cheat too bad.
Yeah, he doesn't cheat much.
Cheats enough. No, that sounds bad. Never been caught.
Most 25-win seasons in program history.
Okay.
Well, he's got four up until that. We've only had, what, three without Rick Barnes in
the
past.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's 17, right?
Yes. Three more.
I love how he's going to take us to our first ever Final Four this year.
I don't know if that's speaking into existence or if we just got jinxed, but one of those two things just happened.
Hey,
depends on the results.
My picks are just flawless this year.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I called both Bama upsets, said we'd beat Duke. I love how Rick Barnes has had us ranked in the top five more than any other coach in Tennessee basketball history.
Ranked in top five often. And number 20.
He's a good man. We'll just wrap it up with that. Okay.
You have good family man.
Well, there's a difference between being a good family man and a good man.
You just want to say he's a good person?
Tony Soprano, like, in his own weird, sick, and twisted way, loved his kids. I wouldn't say he was a good man. Man. All right. For tomorrow, stay tuned for the 20 things I hate about Rick Barnes.
No.
I love the high-arching jump shot by the bigs. I like that his office is in the gym. I like that he's a Southerner from Hickory Dam, North Carolina. I like that he's honest. I mean, hell, maybe we learned a little too much about UCLA and his affection for other places, but at least he tells the truth.
Brutally,
yeah, brutally honest.
Yep.
Loves every other coach in America.
He's pretty good at finding a diamond in the rough on the recruiting trail. He's a gracious loser. How many is that? I think I just gave you five.
That's
right?
26.
I told you.
Gracious loser. I don't think I like that. But
he is.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't pout and throw fits like some people.
Yeah, we don't get caught in that kind of stuff. What? He will recruit and sign local kids.
Tennessee has reached out to Northwestern State transfer DeMarcus Sharp, the Southland Player of the Year. Averaged 19.5 points, 5 assists per game. That is the kid who went off against Texas A&M Corpus Christi in the Southland Championship. Kid was awesome. Electric.
Number 29, he hits the portal.
Active in the transfer portal, despite still being alive. Let's his assistants do the legwork.
Good
delegator.
Delegation. 31. I'm adding this one. Players love him. Unless you're a point guard.
Some players. Most players.
Maybe. Most players love him.
Maybe. Maybe.
Euros loves him. There, it's 31 things. That's really good.
There you go. Nailed it. Can't beat that. We'll come back with more. Hour three of this Optimism Tuesday continues. Right here from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio.
I think it's been a pretty optimistic show.
Glad Hickman got that out of the way. Wasn't too hard.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, look, Rick Barnes has a pretty high floor as a coach. Can't really complain about that.
That's a good one. That should have been on the list. Yeah. High floor. I might add it. I think I will. 32.
I mean, I know, like I don't know what's more fun. Like, Arkansas's made a couple Elite Eights. That's been better than Rick Barnes' tournament success. But, like, this year they were struggling in the regular season. It took a pretty Herculean effort to beat Kansas by one because they were having to play a one seed. You know, Tennessee had a much better seed, so they just had to beat a five to get to where they are now. And the one's been taken care of. So, but I don't know who you would – I think that's a good comparison. Like Eric Musselman versus Rick Barnes, I think some fans would pick one. And if you could – it's really hard to unbias yourself, uncouple from either of those. But if you weren't a fan of either team, you just had to pick the style of coach that you would like. From just a success standpoint, not style of basketball, which is also hard to separate, but I mean, now if one makes a Final Four or wins a national championship and the other hasn't, obviously that's pretty easy, but would you rather would you rather go one or maybe even two rounds farther but not making the Final Four and have worse regular seasons, or would you rather have better regular seasons and know that most of the time you're not going to go quite as far in the tournament, but you'll still have that opportunity every year?
Right.
I think that's a pretty even ask, and I think that's almost just a personal preference. And then there's lots of other factors and stuff like that, but I mean, a lot of the has the game changed a little bit because this year's tournament, I mean, Bill Self isn't even coaching and he's out.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Coach K anymore.
Izzo's still in.
You know, there was that crazy stat, like Dean Smith or Coach K, one of them made like 16 straight or 15 out of 16 Sweet 16s or something. I mean, that's insane.
Jeez.
But yeah, Izzo's still there, but he doesn't have the regular season success I feel like that he used to for a while. There's a whole crew of coaches that just kind of left over the last 5 to 10 years, you know, like Jim Calhoun comes to mind from a while
Calhoun,
back.
Boeheim now, Roy Williams, and Coach K.
Jay Wright's the big one that just left.
And that one was really out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Lon Kruger.
And then, Calipari's been struggling.
Yeah, and then some, that's what I was going to get to next. It's a good point. Some of the guys that have usually there each year are struggling more during the season, it feels like. Mark Few has been pretty reliable.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But they play an easier schedule. I wonder sometimes if...
Are they a little fresher
like,
for the tournament?
Well, I think the opposite. If like this year's Gonzaga team, if they'd have been in the Big Ten, maybe they are a 7 seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so some of his teams might have still been the same 1 or 2 seed, but some, if they're just not quite as good, you don't notice, right? And... I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, you've got a lot of, like, newer blood, I feel like, in the coaching world, and it's made for a lot more variability. And some of these guys are veteran coaches. Don't get me wrong. They just haven't really been here before. Like, the San Diego State coach recruited the Fab Five. Did you hear that story? He was lead recruiter with Steve Fisher at Michigan. And then Fisher, you know, kept him with him when he went to San Diego's when he eventually got to San Diego State, and then this guy took over, and he's an older guy, and he talked about how he delegates. They essentially have an offensive and defensive coordinator on staff, and he just kind of runs the team.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
Kelvin Sampson at Houston, he's an older guy.
The odds are out
Jim
for
Larinaga,
the winner of the
Miami
East.
What? Sorry.
Odds are out for.
Now he's got his feelings are hurt now. Yeah. Just have to wait.
Favorite to win the East?
Gotta be Kansas State, right?
Yeah, Kansas State would be my guess.
They're the best seed.
Nope.
Wait. What do you mean by odds? Vegas odds?
Bet online.
Okay. So Vegas odds.
To win the East regional and head odds. To the Final Four.
It's gotta be Tennessee because you get the easy one game. Like you're supposed to win the first one. The other two teams, even if they're slight favorites over Tennessee in that matchup, are probably like a pick 'em in the other matchup. So the probabilities are going to hedge way on Tennessee. Tennessee, who is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
you're explaining it to me like I didn't understand. Yeah.
No, I was explaining to the audience.
5-4, +125 to win the East. Michigan State comes in second at 14-5 +280. Kansas State 15-4 +375. Florida Atlantic +450, 9-2. Those are just odds. They mean nothing. But pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I mean, it's a four, just any four seed to be the favorite to come out of a region at this stage of the tournament is pretty neat.
Yeah, right now the favorites in each are Alabama, Houston, Connecticut, and Tennessee. That would be an interesting Final Four.
Yeah.
What does KenPom have as the score for the Florida Atlantic game? Have you looked that up?
Yep.
Or have you seen it?
Got it right here. Florida Atlantic. Tennessee to win, obviously. 68-64. 65% chance for Tennessee to be victorious in the first one there.
Okay. It's not bad. You want to know the odd shark number?
Sure. What's the odd shark number?
FAU 72, Tennessee 71. Yikes. They just do it like strictly like scores and what you've given up, though. So I don't know that that would.
I mean, the Vegas line was right on that, right? The four, like 3.5? Wasn't it 3.5?
I think it's 5.5 now.
Yeah. I think it opened at
It opened at 3, and then went quickly to 3.5.
I thought it opened at 4.5, went up to 5.5, and now I think it's 5.
Oh, okay. So that's close. Usually the Vegas line and Kenpom are within 1.5.
Yeah, every naturally.
Time. Yep.
Because I think Roberto's right. I think everybody just is like, what's Kenpom got? Does he release, like, what his data points are? Or is it a very secret, covert formula? No, it's formula. Like, what does he use?
He does not release that.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Smart. Good for him.
You can click on the score, though. He's got a pretty cool breakdown of the game. Like, when Florida Atlantic has the ball, they're 30th on offense, Tennessee first on defense. Average possession length for Florida Atlantic's 82nd in the country. For the Tennessee defense, 264. We slow teams down. They struggle to find good shots. However, Florida Atlantic is 25th in effective field goal percentage, 64th in turnover percentage, 96th in offensive rebounding percentage, which is actually pretty good for a team, but they're as small as they are. They do not get to the line that much, though. They're 41st in three-point percentage, 40th in two-point percentage. They're 200th in free throw percentage. They do not get their shots blocked very often, and they don't allow many steals. They take care of the basketball, I guess.
Take care of the basketball.
Yep.
Don't love that.
When Tennessee has the basketball, they're 60th on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Florida Atlantic is 35th on defense. Average possession length for Tennessee, 240. Average possession against FAU, 286. So they're really good at making teams work and work and work for a good shot also.
Good. That's what we like to do.
Effective field goal percentage for Tennessee, 196. FAU's defense, 15th. Turnover percentage, Tennessee's 200th at turning the ball over. But the FAU defense doesn't turn teams over. They're pretty average, 171.
Yeah, but what's their overall competition is not as...
Yeah.
So right.
Tennessee's offense is 7th at offensive rebounding. FAU's defense rebounding 43rd. Tennessee, as we know, does not get to the line that much either, and FAU doesn't foul much. So 3-point percentage, Tennessee's 218. 2-point percentage, they're 161. Free throw percentage, Tennessee is actually even worse than Florida Atlantic at 213.
All right.
Two foul participation. Neither of these teams like to play guys with two fouls. Tennessee's 304th in the country, and FAU is 278.
How are you feeling on this Optimism Tuesday about the game?
I feel like FAU's kind of like a middle-of-the-pack SEC team that can get hot. Hotter from three. Going to be a little undersized. So, I think if Tennessee plays pretty well, they win. If Tennessee plays average, it'll be go right down the wire. And if Tennessee plays like crap, they'll get beat. And that kind of matches up with FAU. I mean, it's not rocket science here. Tennessee plays an above average game. Like, they're going to win.
I mean, if anybody should feel the bright lights and the fear of being at this stage, it should be them, right?
100%. Like, okay. We've played Kansas in a conference center, and we've played in Brooklyn against Maryland.
Yeah,
which I know it's not the same venue, but it's the same area and same type of game. So I feel like we're set up pretty well. I don't think you could ask for a better draw in this round for sure, and even the next one.
If you're
in a regional final, you're going to be playing a good team.
Well, yeah, and you had people saying like they'd rather play FAU than FDU because of what the home court advantage would have been like for them. Yeah. I don't disagree. That crowd was crazy in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, you get them 45 minutes from campus.
Yeah, and it's not exactly like we've been lights out on the road. That was a true road environment. I mean, everyone else in the arena is already going to be against you anyway.
Yeah.
You don't need a double-sized fan base going bananas the whole time. Might be good that we have the second game.
Yeah, maybe some people will maybe, clear out a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, by the second half, maybe the first gamers are going out to eat dinner, or maybe they've already left since it is a later start. That could be a good thing. So if it is close late, you're not battling the entire arena. Where if you played the first game and it got tight late, everyone in there besides the guys in orange and white are going
to
be rooting against you.
We're so close to going full circle here. I don't want to jinx it, but obviously if you get Michigan State in the Elite Eight rematch.
Oh, God.
Izzo also, after the scrimmage preseason, said we were Final Four good. So
that's true. He did say that.
Beating him there in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four would be pretty cool, you know?
Pretty cool, you know what?
Final segment of the program next. Final segment of the program. Tuesday, we talked about how much we love Rick Barnes.
How much Hickman loves Rick Barnes.
Joe Milton.
He gave us 20 reasons.
Joe Milton only threw 12 bad passes last year. I mean, we got that going for us. Football team has tons of returning players. Can't wait to see. I really can't wait to see a lot of these newcomers play. It's going to be fun.
Lady Vols rolling into
Lady
the Sweet
Vols
16.
Just rolling into the Sweet 16.
We'll have to hit on it tomorrow, but Nick Saban took a pretty big shot at Nate Oates.
Well, there's no such thing as wrong place, wrong time, Chris.
Nope. The god of college football has spoken.
You got to respect Nick Saban for that. I know, like, him taking the moral high ground might be kind of ironic, but good for him, you know?
You love him.
I do. I like Nick Saban a lot. I don't get the Nick Saban hate, other than the fact that nobody could beat him for the longest time.
Do you think if he was his star player in a different situation, different time of year?
Yes, he's already done that.
Yeah.
That guy that got arrested in Louisiana for guns and drugs played the very next game. So, yeah, pick and choose. He hadn't seen this guy on the field yet, and he's like, yeah, we'll suspend this guy. So it is weird to take a shot at Nate Oates when you're doing it. Like, he's clearly doing this for, like, look at how disciplined
we
are.
Yeah.
And I think he wants to distance himself from the situation just in general.
Well, people who are like, well, I talked to some people at Alabama, and apparently that was strictly a coincidental comment. Nick Saban did not mean to have any relationship to what Nate Oates said, and I'm like, he's not that dumb.
Right.
I don't think Nick Saban does anything by accident.
I don't either.
I think everything's all just, when you're as good of a football coach as him, everything you do, every move you make is just so strategically done.
Like, you can not like what he says, but he rarely puts his foot in his mouth without I say rarely. I don't remember him ever saying anything that was just like, dude, what? I mean, maybe the stuff with Burton when he was coming off the field, but even then he had a list of reasons, like, well, it was crowded and, it was a tough game, and he made excuses for him, but I don't know.
If you do want to watch basketball tonight, NIT quarterfinals are tonight.
Vandy's still alive, right?
Yeah, they don't play tonight. It's North Texas at Oklahoma State and Wisconsin at Oregon.
That Wisconsin-Oregon game's pretty good.
I think Vandy plays tomorrow, maybe. Yeah, Vandy's home to UAB tomorrow.
I think if you win the NIT, you should get an automatic bid to the big dance the next year.
I actually have thought that for a long time. But then, like, if you lose all five starters and the next team stinks. You know?
What people always say, like, would you rather lose first round of the NCAA tournament or win the NIT or something like that?
NCAA tournament. I want to be in the tournament.
Every time.
At least you got a shot. Good note here by Jordan. In FAU's three losses this season, the Owls were out-rebounded and had less free throw attempts than their opponent. FAU was held under 60 points just one time this season. They won that game against North Texas 50-46. Tennessee, of course, 22-0 when holding the opponent under 60.
Put that in your pop and smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
All right. Well, that's Tuesday. We'll set it all up again tomorrow. Have some baseball to talk about, more spring football. Then we'll be game day eve, Wednesday edition of the program.
Yep.
And then it'll be a Sweet 16 Thursday here on Fan Run Radio. Makes me a little nervous just thinking about it.
Win or go home, baby.
Yep. Can't hold anything back.
Last game of the year, maybe.
It's Optimism Tuesday, so hopefully not. We'll see you again tomorrow.
For FAU, I was saying. For FAU.
Good point.